in the presence of our God. And if you're visiting with us this morning, which I noticed that some of you are, a special welcome to you. I'm glad that you could join us. I've got just a couple of things to share before we get started. I was told this morning that Mike and Trudy Leganowski's grandson, Jaden, fell out of a tree at their house yesterday and was hurt in some pretty serious and diverse ways. He was brought up to St. Vincent's in Green Bay, but I understand that he had a very good night last night. And so I just wanted to mention that, and if you would, could we just say a prayer for a minute just to have God's hand in that situation? Please join me. Dear Lord, we think about Jaden this morning. We lift him up to you. Lord, I don't know the extent of his injuries. I was given a little list of things that that were damaged in his body. Lord, I am delighted to hear that he had a good night last night, and they're even talking about a period of time that he will have to be in the hospital, and then he will be able to be released. But Lord, I just pray that you will give him all the strength that he needs. I pray that you will give his doctors and nurses all the skill that they need, and I pray that he will be able to come back to full health and full strength. And so, Lord, we pray for him. We pray for his family. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's that. Not the best news, I suppose, but it sounds like God is already working in that situation. Another announcement that I was asked to make before we get started is from Zach. And all of you who are going to Life Fest, that's parents, kids, Zach asked me to have you meet at the front of the sanctuary after church this morning just to go over some final details and cross the T's and dot the lowercase J's. So if you would do that, that would be good. And then finally, I suppose something that we can celebrate apart from 4th of July is that we have a pretty big birthday in the house tomorrow, and that is Norm Mentink is going to be 80 years old, so could we praise God for 80 years? All right, brothers and sisters, and now let us get started. Please stand for God's greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Take a minute to say hi to those around you.
Sometimes it feels like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes it feels like I'm breathing. But am I alive? I won't keep searching for answers that aren't here to find. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not not where I belong. So when the walls come falling down on me, and when I'm lost in the current of a raging sea, I have this blessed assurance known in me. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me not where I belong. When the earth shakes, I want to be found in you. When the lies fade, I want to be found in you. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. Where I belong. Where I belong. I belong. Where I belong.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is with us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other.
stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? That could stand against. When the stars burn down and the earth wears out, and we stand before the throne with the witnesses who have gone before, we will rise and all applaud, singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. When the hands of time wind fully down and the earth is rolled up like a scroll, the trumpets will call and the world will fall to its knees as we go home, singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever. God, singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Star of the morning, light of salvation, majesty, God of all mysteries, Lord of the universe, righteous morning, light of salvation, majesty, God of all mysteries, Lord of the universe, righteous. There will come a day, standing face to face, in a moment we will be like Him. We will wipe our eyes dry, take us up to His side, and forever we will be His. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to, ever to our God. Oh, 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 oh.
Thank you, guys. This morning I'd like to read for you The Heidelberg Catechism's exposition of God's law as we move into a time of confession. This is God's will for our lives. We must sincerely acknowledge the only true God, trust Him alone, look to Him for every good thing, humbly and patiently, love Him, fear Him, and honor Him with all our hearts. We should in no way make any image of God, nor worship Him in any other way than He has commanded in His Word. We may neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. Rather, we must use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe. On the festive day of rest, we should regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Every day of our lives, the Lord works in us through His Spirit and begins already the eternal Sabbath. We are to honor, love, and be loyal to our fathers and mothers and all those in authority over us. Obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish us. And also be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. By condemning envy, hatred, and anger, God tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to be patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful, and friendly to them, to protect them from harm as much as we can, and to do good even to our enemies. We are temples of the Holy Spirit, body and soul, and God wants both to be kept clean and holy. We should therefore thoroughly detest all unchastity and, married or single, live decent and chaste lives. God forbids outright theft and robbery, cheating and swindling our neighbors, and all greed and pointless squandering of His gifts. God's will is that we never give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. We should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it. We should do what we can to guard and advance our neighbor's good name. When we live the way of love for God and neighbor, not even the slightest thought or desire contrary to any one of God's commandments should ever arise in our heart. Rather, with all our heart, we should always hate sin and take pleasure in whatever is right. Will you please join me in prayer? Lord, we hear Your commands, Your instruction for our lives. And we, every one of us, are confronted with the fact that we have fallen short. And so we come before You this morning, together, sinners standing, sitting side by side. And we ask for Your forgiveness. We ask for Your forgiveness, and we ask You for the power, for the wisdom to turn away from the sin that we struggle with in our lives and turn toward You by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus. Amen. And our assurance of pardon this morning comes from Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear Him. For He knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commands. Amen. In response to this, please open your Psalter hymnals with me to number 63, O Lord my God, most earnestly. Please join me in our morning prayer. Father in heaven, come before you this morning with probably a wide variety of feelings, concerns, and struggles, and joys. Lord, we lift up to you the needs of our world. We think about Christians who are being persecuted in lands that are far away and in places that are closer to home. Lord, we stand with our brothers and sisters who are struggling, who are in distress. Lord, when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. And Lord, I hope that we have minds that realize that and hearts that that soften because of that. Pray that that is something that connects us with your people around the world and spanning throughout all of time. Lord, I thank you for the gift of freedom. We celebrate Independence Day tomorrow. Lord, I thank you for all of the people that work so hard to make this country great. We think about our leaders on the national level, all the way down to the local and community level. Lord, I pray that you are inspiring them, that you are guiding them, that you are giving them wisdom and whatever they need to make decisions that glorify you and further your kingdom. Lord, along with the holiday of 4th of July is the reality of summer vacations and summer travels. Lord, I pray that that in those things you will keep us safe. I pray that this time of the year can be a time where we are able to connect with family and do some different activities that we're not able to do during other parts of the year. And we pray that in all that, that we would be refreshed and that you would be glorified. Lord, I lift up the needs of our congregation. Lord, I thank you for 3 successful surgeries this week. We lift up to you Judy Shufflebottom. We lift up to you Lynn Walvert. We lift up to you Mark Dirks. Lord, I was so glad to get good news, to get positive results in those 3 surgeries. And Lord, I lift up those 3 members of our church to you, and I pray that you will bring them back to full health sooner rather than later. Lord, we think about Joel Marshall and Shirley Ledebor, who are anticipating surgeries. Joel this week and Shirley in a few weeks. Lord, I pray that you will give them comfort and give them confidence and give them inspiration as they prepare for their own procedures. And I pray that in turn you will bring them back to full health as well. Lord, we think about Mike and Trudy's grandson, Jaden, again. We pray that you have your hand in that situation and that your will be done. Lord, we continue to pray for Neil Butine. It's my understanding that he had a good week with minimal falls this week, but he did still have 1 serious one. Lord, I just pray that you continue to watch over him, keep him safe. Lord, we lift up to you Gene Bailey. We observed the funeral of Ken Bailey on Thursday. We entrusted him to your care. But Lord, now we entrust Jean and the rest of her family into your care as well, and the care of her church family. Lord, I pray that as the days pass, you continue to give her everything she stands in need of, strength-wise, comfort-wise, purpose-wise. Lord, those are the needs of our congregation, but it's by no means all of them. I'm sure that there are some that I've forgotten and others that perhaps we don't know about. And so I lift up to you everyone who is struggling or suffering with health or circumstances that seem overwhelming. Lord, I pray that you stand large in their thinking and in their perspective. Pray that you stand large in all of our perspective, that you are the priority. Give us the strength to focus on you and your Son Jesus, who gave us the greatest gift of all, salvation for eternity. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, our offering will be received. Lord, we put before you this morning our gifts, our tithes, our offerings. We pray that you will bless them. Lord, continue to work in each one of our hearts. Make us more generous, more like you, who is the giver of all good things. Lord, we lift up Oostburg Christian School this morning, Paul Modell, all the teachers, students, parents. Lord, continue to bless Oostburg Christian School and make it a light in this community. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of preparation this morning is number 503, Built on the Rock. Please join me in singing. All right, you guys, you know what to do. Should we get in a circle and pray? Dear Jesus, thank you so much for these kids. They are such a blessing to their families and a blessing to the church. Lord, I pray that you watch over them in every way. Pray that as they go to their own time of worship, that you will bless them and bless their teachers with a fun and a good time to learn about you. And Lord, I pray that every day of their lives, they will seek to love you and to know you more. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Whoops. Let's pray. Dear Lord, whatever distractions we came in with, I pray that you sweep them aside. May the Holy Spirit and lighten our hearts and minds to hear this life-giving word from you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Our scripture passage this morning is Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. It is on page 1393 in your pew Bibles. Daniel chapter 12. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on the bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times and a half a time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed." I heard, but I did not understand, so I asked, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this morning we have the task before us of closing out this series on Daniel. It has been a pleasure and also a struggle. Isn't that how it often is? So what I want to do here is I want to begin by looking back on the whole book and kind of doing a very quick review. And then we will focus our gaze in on chapter 12 that we just read. But I should point out that in this final chapter, we find a number of the tensions that we've been dealing with right along in this series. The kingdoms of the world versus the kingdom of God. That which is temporary versus that which is forever. That which is hidden and that which is revealed, distress and deliverance, judgment and glorification, the Antichrist and Jesus Christ. And what I really want to get to this morning is what we need to take away from this whole thing, okay? What we need to take away from this book as a whole revelation from God's word. And I guess what it really comes down to is, what does God desire for our lives? What does God desire for our lives? That's what I want you to be thinking about as we talk about Daniel and chapter 12. When we began this series, 3 months ago, we were immediately challenged to think about how we, the people of God, should think and should speak and should act and should live in a world that is hostile toward God. That's what we thought about from that very first sermon in Daniel chapter 1. Or in the more poetic language of Psalm 137, how do we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Because brothers and sisters, just like the generation of Daniel that was living in exile in Babylon away from their homeland, we too live in a place, we live in a kingdom, we live in a world that is not our true home. Now, I had nothing to do with picking the songs that we started the service with, but that was the message in at least two of those songs, right? This is not our home. We were made for something else. Now, it's good that we sang those songs, because we need to be reminded often of that fact, that this is not our home. We are pilgrims going through life, not settlers in this world. Now, this is what God wants for us. This is what God wants for us to take away from this book of Daniel. This is what God has planned. We see it in Daniel 12, verse 3, where it says, those who are what? Wise. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who bring many to righteousness like the stars that shine forever. Is that who you are? Is that who you want to be? Is that who you look ahead at being? People who shine like stars. God wants us to shine like stars for all of eternity. And what is it that we need to attain? What is it that we need to strive for in this life in order to work toward that goal that God has for us of in the end shining like stars forever and ever? What do we need to strive to attain? Wisdom, right? Wisdom. Those who are wise, those who have wisdom, will shine. So looking back on the whole book of Daniel, both the stories in the first six chapters and the visions in the last six, let me say a few words about what this wisdom looks like. A life of wisdom is a life of integrity. We go back to Daniel chapter 1, where Daniel and his friends are brought from their homeland in Israel all the way to the capital city of Babylon. And what are they given? They are given new names. They are given education in Babylonian arts, history, and culture. They are given new jobs within the government. And they are given food from the king's table. That's what they're given. And yet, in that, Daniel and his friends need to make a decision. They need to think about, okay, we're coming into this new place. We're coming into this new life. How do we maintain our distinction as God's people? How do we maintain our set-apartness as God's people? And so they decide, we can't have control over all this stuff that's being thrown at us, but we can control what we eat. And so they say, we will not accept food from the king's table. They draw a line so that they can remember who they are. Then in chapter 3, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are commanded to bow down to this giant gold statue edifice that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, They had already decided. They had made the big decisions beforehand that they were not going to transgress. They were not going to go against their faith in that way. And so they paid the price by getting thrown into a fiery furnace, and yet God delivered them. And in chapter 6, when Daniel refuses to obey this silly law that Darius put into effect, that if you were going to pray, you could only pray to King Darius, Daniel did not even miss a beat with his personal devotions. He continued to pray to his God, and he was thrown into the den of lions, which he too was delivered from. Integrity means being constantly mindful of where you have drawn your lines in the sand, okay? It's knowing when and where it's okay to compromise, but even more importantly, it's knowing when and where you are called to take a stand in society, in the world that you live in. It is simply refusing to engage in behavior that is contrary to God's will and to our faith. Daniel 1 verse 8a illustrates this beautifully. It says, Daniel resolved not to defile himself. A life of wisdom is a life of integrity. A life of wisdom is also a life of stability. What we're talking about here is emotional stability, spiritual stability. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar dreams of this giant statue with a head of gold and arms and chest of silver and then bronze and iron mixed with clay for its feet. And he has this dream of the statue and what happens? A huge stone carved from a mountain, but not by human hands, comes down and topples that statue. And we learned that that statue represented successive kingdoms in history. Successive kingdoms that would not last. But that the stone represented God's kingdom, which would last forever. And so that is wisdom that we gain, that no matter who's in power and no matter who is doing what in this world in terms of oppressing God's people, that yes, that too will pass. Then in Daniel chapter 7, again, Daniel's dream this time of those four terrible beasts that come out of the turbulent water. And those beasts are just terrifying, just terrifying, but then in the end, those beasts are all destroyed too. When? When the Son of Man comes riding in on the clouds, when Jesus Christ returns. So again, we see that whatever is going on in this world, geopolitically, wars, battles, rumors of war, we can know, we can be stable and secure in the fact that that too will pass, but that God's power and God's kingdom will last forever. And again, in chapter 8, Daniel's vision of the ram with those mismatched horns and the unicorn goat, and then the unicorn, the one horn gets broken off, and 10 of them spring up, and it just got weirder and weirder, didn't it, as we got through these visions? But in that too, we see just another retelling of what the future is going to be, and yet God would reign supreme through all of that. It is God and God's kingdom that would last forever. So stability means understanding and accepting that earthly kingdoms will rise and fall, but that God's kingdom is forever. Stability is being confident that the seemingly great powers of evil in this world do not reflect the spiritual reality. Stability means trusting that our God is a God of the details from last week. And more importantly, that the victory is his. We see that in Daniel 4, verse 17. The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. A life of wisdom is a life of stability. And finally, a life of wisdom is a life of humility. Chapter 4, when Nebuchadnezzar dreams of this giant tree where the birds of the air come and roost, and then the tree is cut down. And Daniel tells him that that tree represents you, and if you don't repent, if you don't ask for forgiveness from God, if you don't take it down a notch, God is going to curse you to live like an animal for 7 years. And that ended up happening, right? 7 years. And yet when that time was done, Nebuchadnezzar stood up, rose up once again as a man, and he said, okay, now I understand. God is in charge. He humbled himself and admitted that the Most High God is in control. But then in the very next chapter, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar's descendant, Belshazzar. And we had that story of him having this party and bringing the treasures that were looted from the temple in, and he was toasting other gods. He was blaspheming God with the treasures from God's own temple. And then that writing comes on the wall. That writing on the wall that says, hey, your kingdom will not last. You have been weighed and found wanting. Your kingdom will be taken from you this very night. So we see again, humility. Nebuchadnezzar eventually learned it. Belshazzar didn't, and he was destroyed. He should have learned his lesson. And then, of course, Daniel chapter 9, where Daniel prays this great intercessory prayer for his people. A prayer where he humbles himself and also all the people of God, and says, God, we have screwed up. We have screwed up. Please forgive us and restore us to our favored place in your sight. Humility means simply knowing who we are and knowing who God is. We see that in Daniel 5, verses 22 and 23. But you, Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You praised gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. And here's the kicker. You did not honor the God who holds in his hands your life and all of your ways. A life of wisdom is a life of humility. And so, brothers and sisters, armed with this wisdom now, this wisdom that is characterized by integrity and stability and humility, let's return to chapter 12 and discover what it teaches us about the end times. What does Scripture tell us is going to happen as we approach the end of history? Well, first, based on our reading this morning, there is going to be a time of tribulation. What does tribulation mean? It means there's going to be a time of great trouble, great distress, great suffering. Verse 1 says, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. God reveals to Daniel that as the end draws near, there will be a time of persecution unlike anything that the world has ever seen. Unparalleled trouble, unparalleled distress, unparalleled suffering. I thought about this week. And you know what? Perhaps, the end of time won't come for generations. Maybe it won't come for hundreds and hundreds of years. I mean, look at us today. We're certainly not enduring the worst persecution in all of history, are we? No, we're not. But then, when I think about the instability that we have in our world today, terrorist groups, rogue nations, weapons of mass destruction, I have to accept, and you should too, that the end could possibly come in our lifetimes. And that brings this passage home in a much more pointed and uncomfortable way, doesn't it? This could happen. Now I'm paying attention. What if I had to endure this? What if you had to endure this? What if our kids or our grandkids had to go through this, had to live through this, and remain faithful? Read Fox's Book of Martyrs sometime. The way the apostles and Christians throughout history were tortured and put to death. It'll give you nightmares. And Daniel chapter 12 says that the end is going to be even worse than that. Even worse than that. But at the same time, we also see in verse 1 that this future distress is going to be under God's control. Believers who face this nth degree level of persecution are not going to be alone. Michael, the warrior angel, will arise, and the people of God will be delivered. What does that mean? It means that they won't escape this persecution, but they will have the strength to endure it. They won't be overwhelmed by it. In fact, Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew that those days will be cut short for the sake of the elect. But first, there will be a time of persecution. Second, there will be a time of resurrection. Verse 2, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. And this is by far the clearest reference in the Old Testament about a general resurrection. And what you may or may not find interesting about it is that it seems to suggest that all people will be resurrected. All people who have ever lived will one day be brought back to life, will come out of the ground to face the God who created them, to face the God who became flesh and died in order to offer them the gift of salvation. Now, I think about different people that I've known in my life, people who had no time for God, people who thought the church was silly and useless, people who refused to see that they needed any kind of saving. And I struggle with how I am going to feel when those people stand before God at the end. Will I feel some smug sense of satisfaction? Will I be delighted that I was right and they were wrong? I hope not. Will I be grieved that they didn't see the truth until it was too late? Because after a time of persecution and a time of resurrection, there will come finally a time of separation. Verse 2, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, and then some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Brothers and sisters, this is serious stuff. Each one of us has a choice to make in this life about who we're going to worship, about who we're going to trust, about who we're going to serve, about who we are going to love. And there's going to come a point for each one of us where it's going to be too late to make that decision. Okay? It's going to be too late to change our minds. It's going to be too late to all of a sudden get serious about our faith. At the end of time, when Jesus Christ comes to judge the world, there will be an eternal separation that takes place. Many will be raised to everlasting life in the presence of God. The rest will be raised as well, but they to shame and everlasting contempt. Removed from God's presence, removed from God's beautiful face for all of eternity. If you know where you want to be when that time comes, it would be wise to start thinking about that right now. It would be wise to start living that out right now. It would be wise to make sure that your faith is the priority right now. Daniel 12, verses 4 to 13 serve as a kind of wrap-up to the book. As with previous visions that we've talked about in previous weeks, Daniel hears these words, sees these things, but he doesn't understand. And then two questions are asked, two questions that I would anticipate are in our minds as well. First of all, in verse 6, how long? And second, in verse 8, what will the outcome be? In answer to the first question, we are given three references to time. In verse 7, it says, for a time, times, and half a time. Okay, well, that answers it, right? Well, no, it doesn't. It's very vague. Then in verse 11, it has this number, 1,290 days. And then in verse 13, it says 1,335 days. And rather than speculate, which I've read the commentaries, that's all it would be. You know, I had three commentaries. They all said, okay, we're taking this literally. And they all went a different place with it. Crazy. But rather than speculate, it seems more responsible to understand these time periods symbolically. These time periods represent the time between the first coming and the second coming of Jesus. And we know that this is going to be a time of unrest. We know that this is going to be a time of persecution. We know that this is going to be a time of battles and wars, both physical and spiritual. But brothers and sisters, it's also a time of evangelism. It's also a time of witness. It's also a time where the gospel is being spread. So that's what I have for you for the first question. The times are symbolic. Don't spend any more energy trying to figure out what that all means. In answer to the second question, what will the outcome be? Daniel has promised three times that the end will come. He has also told that the scroll has been closed and has been sealed until the end. Now, the closing and sealing of the scroll means that God's revelation to Daniel is complete. God has said everything that he intends to. God has said everything that Daniel needs to know. And he closes the book or the revelation by saying, as for you, Daniel, go your own way till the end. You will find rest, and then you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Brothers and sisters, that's for Daniel. That's what Daniel needed. But you and I have more than that, don't we? Because we are able to see these words from Daniel through Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Daniel got a partial revelation, and that's all that he needed. You and I get the full picture. You and I have the benefit of God's full revelation that came in the person of Jesus Christ, God made flesh, who came, who died, and then rose again to offer us forgiveness and salvation and a future. Getting back to those time references, it's not our task to worry about when the end's going to come. Our task is not to delve into mysteries that God has chosen to keep secret from us, that God has not revealed to us. Our task is not to live in fear of the Antichrist or the persecution that he will bring when the end does come. Our task, as we go through life, is to fix our eyes upon Jesus. Fix our eyes upon Jesus, our Savior. To be people of integrity, to be people of stability, to be people of humility, to be wise. People of prayer, people of God's word. God is in control. And the end will come at God's appointed time. And then God will make us, you and I, to shine like stars. Won't that be something? Reflecting the light of his Son, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Amen. Dear Lord, I thank you for providing this congregation with everything that we have needed to get through a difficult book in your word. I pray that this message has touched hearts. I pray that your word has done and continues to do what we know it can do, changing us from the inside out. Lord, help us to go out from this place, changed people, with a new perspective. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 32, and we're going to sing verses 1, 4, and 5. Please stand with me. It's called, How Blessed Are They Whose Trespass. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen.